C1F. Number 5B.
And then the belief is healed that the body is governed by our mind, by the human mind, by mental condition, by the psychological condition, and so on. If we think that psychosomatic medicine and psychotherapy is really working on the basis that it is the mental state of the patient that is determining the disease, that if a patient is heartbroken over a thing, he gets heart disease, that if he can't stomach a situation, he gets stomach disease, that if he can't back up in a situation, he gets a disease in the back, and so on, and heal them by showing that their mental condition is the cause of the disease. Well, that is psychotherapeutic treatment and not Christian Science. But most of what we have been witnessing in the Christian Science movement was nothing else but this psychotherapeutic treatment, finding out what wrong thought is producing what wrong disease. But this is not the divine mind analyzing the case. It is just psychological treatment. So one begins to see here the importance when Mrs. Eddy asks here that the healing work must be based on the divine mind and not just as are not just indications of unnatural mental and bodily conditions. She brings here then all through this subject the belief of fatigue, but we must not be sidetracked by this disease of how she would deal fatigue, because at the end of this subject she says, my method of treating fatigue applies to all bodily ailments. So what she is doing here is not just showing how she would deal with one specific case, namely fatigue, but she takes it as an example, just as when we speak about the divine principle and its healing power, people will come and say, give me an example, and then we would have to give an example. So she had to use here an example. I say this because the subject itself naturally becomes much bigger if we lift it away from this one trait of disease. As Spirici says, through scientific healing, an advance is won which cannot be turned back. So, a sign of divine healing is that it is not only in mind built on the divine mind, but when the divine mind heals, Spirit says, I have brought you forward. Spirit is progress. Spirit is unfoldment. Spirit says, now you are a better man than before. And you can't fall back again. That disease cannot recur again. You are not at the same point as before. Spirit is that enormous driving power, the power of true evolution, which brings mankind forward. A true healing through the divine mind is always of the nature of spiritual progress. Always. It never leaves us where it has found us. And she says, and therefore the next case toils you less. The condition never recurs. Then she goes on to soul and shows the mortal eye, not the body, pronounces false claims with regard to the bodily condition. The consciousness of truth determines the bodily condition. Here she brings up that saying which says, you say toil fatigues me, and says, who is that me? We always speak about our disease. It's something very interesting that we say, I have this and this disease. I, as if one would say that it is personal, that it is belonging to one's own person, whereas principle is impersonal. And therefore, principle will deal with this quite differently. We, she says here, who is it, this I, which says, I am tired? Is that I the body that says I'm tired? Or is that I just mortal mind that speaks? If it is mortal mind that speaks and not the body, then naturally we can see that we can exchange mortal mind for the divine mind and let the divine mind be the I that speaks. And more and more in this chapter we will see that only the I, which is God, the ego, which is God, should speak. And that all our sentences which we make during the day should be very clear in regard to this I. What is meant with the I? Is this I my body, or is this I my mortal mind? Is mortal mind an I? Have I an ego of my own? And again we see how important that first subject was, that it was showing that we can have no other mind but that mind which is God. Then I have a mind which is God, and that is my mind, and that is my I. And that I which is mind can never say I'm tired. That I which is God can never say I'm sick. That I, which is God, can never say, I don't feel well, and so on. So let's be clear. Who is determining? You see, soul is that which determines, which identifies properly. If I leave it to the mortal I to define and to identify how much a man I am, how well I feel, then naturally I leave it to a wrong I. But the moment I begin to see that the only I there is God, principle, then principle begins to define itself to me as what I am, and how I feel, and how well I am. The same is the next subtone as principle. I have written here, the human mind is disinclined of self-correction, and has no faith in God's willingness and ability to heal the sick, but the authority of God governs the body. Here, naturally, once one has seen that it is the mortal mind that says, I am sick, then the question comes as principle, am I willing to correct that? Am I willing to put away my personal I and have it replaced by the divine I? Am I willing of self-correction? It is quite interesting here that she asks the question, wherein lies really the difficulty to heal? And answers it by saying, well, it is difficult to heal because it is really not the body that is sick, but because it is mortal mind that is the sinner, and that has brought about the sickness. But that mortal mind is disinclined of self-correction. It does not want to change its standpoint, its nature. And therefore, we believe that the body can be sick independent of mortal mind. And that we believe that the divine mind has no jurisdiction over the body. So in these four short sentences, she summarizes the fundamental claim why it seems so difficult to get rid of some disharmonious result, because it says, well, it is that the mortal mind is the sinner, is the producer of this disharmonious result, but mortal mind does not want to give up its I and see that the only I is principle. And because it doesn't see that the I is principle and that the I is governing the body, it is jolly difficult to heal that case. Well, we can say it's jolly easy to heal a case the moment we are willing to change this belief in a personal I into the divine I and see, oh golly, 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 all that is going on is the divine principle, and principle demonstrates itself infinitely as its infinite idea. And this idea is always the truth about every illusion. And therefore, an illusion can't stand before the power of the idea. And if the illusion can't stand before the power of idea, the illusion cannot manifest itself on the body. And so there is no possibility of mortal mind producing any discordant disease, situation. The whole trick really is in changing to the divinity of the divine principle and see that the divinity of the principle has a humanism. The humanism which says, I, principle, cannot do anything else but demonstrate myself as ideas, and as ideas they control every infinitesimal part of the universe. I believe very strongly that if we are able to get out of the metaphysical thinking, and it's not easy to get it out of it because we have been trained in it for many, many years, but if we are consciously trying to lift ourselves out of the metaphysical thinking in terms of ideas versus illusions and get out of that into that higher realm of seeing that there is a humanism of mind, a humanism of spirit, a humanism of soul and of principle and of life and of truth and of love, then we say, well, the only I there is the I which is mind, the I which is spirit, the I which is soul, that's the only I of principle. And that only I of principle is the only I of life and of truth and of love. And that is my I, my ego. That's our us. And that is operating by itself, infinitely. And we begin to let the infinite principle work as the infinite idea, and not so much anymore as a specific idea for a specific case. That is then the more universal concept which we gain of our I. But I'm no more looking as a little ego at a infinite universe, but where the infinite I is looking at itself in an infinite way. Quite a different proposition. Quite a different. In life, she says, the scientific method of healing consists in immediately rejecting the belief. See the tone of life, of immediateness, of instantaneousness, which is bringing out here the point that we should not let error of any sort give a chance to take hold in our, to give place in our consciousness, but to immediately reject this or to immediately see it in its right way. and to, as she says here, to awake to the truth of being, then the mortal dream will forever cease. So, principle is life, says, I am principle, the I is principle, therefore immediately and instantaneously and I reject everything that is not of the nature of principle. And as it does, that one can see what the next subtone then indicates as truth. Science governs harmoniously by destroying those beliefs whose effect we wish to have removed. It is here in that side note of affirmation and result where she says that as our affirmations are, so are our results. As our consciousness is humanly, so are our results. If my consciousness is disharmonious, I can't expect a harmonious body and a harmonious surrounding. So, never affirm what we do not wish to have manifested. As if she wants to indicate what we affirm, that is what will be manifested in our lives. So the destruction of the belief is the removal of its effect, showing that if we give no place to error in our consciousness, that destroys the effect of error. It not only wipes out the cause of error, but naturally also the effect of error. So, in principle as life, she had shown that the I is suddenly and immediately rejecting as life everything that is disharmonious and erroneous. Therefore, as truth, it not only rejects what is erroneous in belief, but also what is erroneous in effect. And then as love, she shows that scientific healing may not be entirely achieved at this period, but the abatement of evils is a scientific beginning in the right direction. This chapter, you will notice as we go on, really gives always the absolute sense and then a very tender human sense. It is not hard on the mortal. It is showing just as here it says, oh yes, I know. This change of the personal I to the divine I is not something that we can just do in 1 second and then we have it forever. It's something that must be cultured, consciously cultured, and it may take time. She takes in this chapter very often the time concept, as if she would say, well, I know the difficulties, and if you can't do it the first time, you try it the second time, and if you can't do it the second time, you may try it the third time, but once you will achieve it. There will come a time where you attain the goal. So that she doesn't say, well, you have to demonstrate that right away, but what she says, what you have to demonstrate is to start right. And every step in the right direction is a step forward. In those unpublished sayings and memories which are on Mrs. Eddy, pupils always said that Mrs. Eddy was never cross if they couldn't make the grade. They couldn't make a demonstration. She would never be cross with them or rebuke them. But she would always be very cross and rebuke them if they didn't try. See, that's, I think, what she wants to bring out here. It is, that shouldn't depress us too much that we may not make the grade in a situation, that we may not be able to work out the situation as we would like to have it, quickly and so on, and effectively. But what is the most important is to try and start right, to go into the right direction. No master has fallen down from heaven is a saying we have in German. I don't know if you have it in English. We say no master has fallen down from heaven, meaning you can't get a master in any branch of knowledge just from one day to the other. It is a matter of culturing, a matter of discipline, of learning, of study, and devotion, and so on. So, let's not be too much troubled if not everything which we have to carry with us get their solution. I feel what we should be interested in is to see and find out the right method and work on that method, to get the right method. Here in this chapter, the right method which he shows is try and see that you are not working up to God. Try and see that you are not trying to improve the human, trying to improve the good in you. Go to the one mind, that mind which is your mind, and that mind is the all mind, and that's your mind. And then as you find that mind, you find the reality of man, the spiritual reality of man. And as you find the spiritual reality of man, you find your immortality, the immortality of man. And in this fourth chapter, she shows that in finding the immortality of man, we find that principle demonstrates itself as man. And that only then, when principle demonstrates itself, that can be called healing. No other method is divine healing. Yes.